Welcome back, everybody, to the Gaming Careers Podcast, our weekly live stream where we talk about all things live streaming, basically, all the news and product updates, all the new platform features that have been announced. That's going to be the main topic that we're going to be talking about today. Before we dive into all of that, let's connect to our co-host from across the pond. Ben, you're wearing your Carolina t-shirt. I presume that must have something to do with American football or basketball or baseball, one of the sports that you guys care about and no one else really does.
That's fair. Yeah, it's basketball today. For all my U.S. friends, it is the finale of March Madness, and Carolina's my alma mater, and they're in it. So pretty excited for that. It's been a weekend full of sports over here for our household. Pete, how about you? How have things been since we last spoke?
Very good. Yeah, been working really and spending far too much time on Reddit's April Fool's experiment that they sort of do every few years, which is our place. I actually think we should maybe kick straight off with that, because there is a little bit of Twitch related news when it comes to it. Have you seen this, our place? I'm going to describe it anyway to the podcast audience, but have you also spent far too much time looking at this social experiment or participating in it as well?
Yeah, I've kept track a little bit. How many years have they been doing this for? Because it's an April Fool's sort of thing, right? And they just keep doing it.
Yeah, so I think the first one was 4 or 5 years ago that they did specifically our place, but they tend to do a different thing every year on April Fool's. So the first one that they did, or the first one that was popular anyway, was the button, where it was like one button, and when anybody around the world pressed it, it jumped back up to 60 seconds. So it was like seeing if you could collectively, as the internet, resist pressing a button so it could count all the way down. But the Our Place one, I realize this isn't really streamer news, but I think it is interesting because there is a tangent that we can tie it in with streamers. Our Place is effectively a massive grid, I think over 1,000 pixels by 1,000 pixels, and once every 5 minutes each user that's logged into Reddit can place one single pixel in a choice of different colors. So you can't really do much on your own. I think my headphones might have just gone.
Oh, that's unfortunate. I can carry over if we need to here.
I've got one bar of battery left. So yeah, you take over and I'll swap.
Yeah, no worries. I'll fill in. So for those who are asking what the heck is our place that we keep saying, r/place on Reddit is a running April Fool's thing where it's basically a giant canvas. And like Pete said, each user can place one pixel every 5 minutes on that canvas. So you can't do much by yourself, but collectively, as we've seen with Twitch communities, you can actually do a lot, it turns out, by kind of using your viewers to do something for you or help you fill out a project. It's been live, I think, since April Fool's, so like 4 days or so now, and it's crazy how much art has already been put on there, Pete, and like some amazing art at that, I have to say, with just how much variety there is on here.
I'm showing it on the screen share now. So this, if I zoom out, you can see just how big it is. But if you zoom in, you can color one of these individual pixels every 5 minutes as a logged in user. So yeah, you get communities coming together. Look, I'm going to zoom in on the UK flag, London Eye, and you know, the Beatles crossing the road. Those are all British things that a lot of British users of Reddit have put together. But there's, you know, there's all kinds of communities here. And it's really interesting to watch, especially once the 4 days is over. There'll be loads of videos up on YouTube of sort of the time lapses of the 4 days. And you can see all these battles happening between different groups of people to take over different areas, because obviously it's a limited amount of pixels. Really fascinating experiment anyway. But to tie into streaming, there have been some streamers sort of battling or doing this with their community live on stream. So they'll get, you know, 10,000 people that are watching them on stream to help them draw something specific. And when you have 10,000 people all logged in, you can create something quite kind of quickly. You're not doing, you know, your own one pixel every 5 minutes. It's much more frequent than that. So what have you seen here from the streaming side of things, Ben?
I haven't been able to actually be in streams as they're doing it. I've seen some clips of, you know, like I saw one of Mizkif telling his viewers to just kind of like go, and then you see an entire art piece just form within like seconds of everyone hitting that same button to fill out a piece. I know Ludwig and a couple others have made a bunch of things on here. I think what you're pointing at right now is the LOL emote, which is mm-hmm. one of the most famous emotes on Twitch. Got a big portion there on r/place. And a lot of these pieces have been created by the communities. I didn't see a lot of actual streamers themselves like drawn on here, but I think they kind of worked with the communities to make certain art pieces on here. So have you seen any actual streams?
That guy, pay money Wubby, something like that. I think he's a YouTuber and a streamer now. But yeah, if you spend enough time on this, you can find all kinds. Look, there's a I think that's a Forza emote, isn't it, in the middle there. But there has also been a couple of articles that have come out sort of documenting a few of the big streamers and what they're doing. And I think the first day a lot of people were doing flags and emotes and things like that, and it's moved on now to actually, you know, the streamers with the most creative art that they can get their community to help contribute with win out, basically. But lots of battles, an interesting place to start the podcast, I think. And for anyone listening, go and visit reddit.com/r/place before April the 4th. Well, that's today, April the 5th, maybe, that it actually finally becomes permanent, and get involved in the experiment. Maybe we can get the Gaming Careers podcast to take over the 1,000 pixels by 1,000 pixels, you know. Our two faces, no, I'm only joking. We don't have an audience anywhere near that big. I think we just dive straight into the news of the platform updates, because we've got updates from Facebook, which, you know, you've done a great job there to be able to pull some Facebook news together, but also YouTube and Twitch. We've got updates as well. So I think we probably start with Facebook, because, you know, it's you've got to keep the viewers and the listeners listening to the end. So we'll end with Twitch. We'll go Facebook, YouTube, Twitch. So do you want to kick us off with Facebook? And I'll get the webpage open for us.
We got to tee it up a little bit here. It's nice to have Facebook updates, because sometimes you'll get Facebook updates in their monthly posts, but it's like one change that's very minor. This month, it seems like there's a couple of things that are kind of cool. So the things they specifically call out, the first one that's out now for Facebook is their native chatbot is now open to everybody on Facebook. So I guess on Facebook, again, I've not streamed on Facebook, they have like a native bot for the platform that's now open to everybody, which is pretty nice. You don't need to get an extension like Nightbot or one of these other bots to come in. It's just kind of built in, which is always helpful if you're streaming there and you don't have really experience with making a bot or getting one added to your channel. There is also, they're expanding Facebook Reels to more regions, which I guess is the same as Instagram Reels or TikToks and et cetera, but for Facebook specifically. So if you were in a region that didn't have it, you might have it now, which is kind of cool. And the other thing that's kind of interesting, Pete, is they changed the payout window for any monetization from 30 days to 21 days. That one, I think, was maybe the most interesting here, because that's different from Twitch for sure. I actually don't know what the YouTube payout window is for that, but it's a little shorter now. So you might actually get more paychecks, essentially, if you're on Facebook and trying to monetize there. So that's pretty cool.
That's always been something that like kind of surprises me as bragging rights. Obviously, it's better to get paid quicker, but 21 days versus 30 days, is that enough to write in your major blog post that you're doing all the updates about? It's significantly quicker than Twitch, isn't it? Is Twitch 30 days or 60 days or 90 days?
I believe it's like 30 days after you get $100.
Yeah. So a lot of people have to build back up to that $100 limit and then wait another 30 days.
Yep.
So yeah, I mean, Facebook, with a lot of their updates that we've seen over the past year has been about monetizing smaller streamers, really, hasn't it? They've, you know, they give 100% of earnings through subs and things like that until next year, I believe. So they're really trying to get people on from the money. They obviously believe that everyone follows the money, and that's how they're trying to get more streamers on. I'm still not seeing like a massive amount of the English speaking communities swapping over to Facebook, but we've seen in the quarterly reports, haven't we, Ben, how often the mobile streaming market and, you know, other non-English speaking markets use Facebook, and the stats are kind of staggering. So, interesting to talk about Facebook Reels. I didn't even know Facebook had Reels, but it kind of makes sense since they own Instagram and Instagram have Reels. But maybe if there's anyone in chat that streams on Facebook that they can weigh in on any of these, if any of these are good. I think it's kind of cool that they've got their own chat bot, I've got to be honest. Like that's something they definitely didn't need to spend time and money developing, but they clearly wanted to lower that barrier of people streaming on the platform, not having to worry about bringing in an external chat bot of some sort. So is that something you see be useful on Twitch, or is it just too far gone now that the moderation box that you can get from Stream Elements and places like that is,
to be honest, I feel like a lot of popular bots probably don't work on Facebook. Like, I don't even know if Nightbot can be used on Facebook right now.
I'll look it up whilst you speak.
Yeah, you'll have to check that out. I'm sure that some that have integrations like Streamlabs probably have something like that, but it's nice to have it built into the platform and just save you one step. And especially if there's some built-in stuff that comes preset when you set up your channel, I mean, that's pretty nice for new creators. The other thing I wanted to mention really quickly is they called out two other things specifically that they're working on. So these aren't out yet, but one was really interesting to me. And that was, they said they're working on an easy way for creators to reformat clips into Reels content. So theoretically, like, you can take a clip someone's made on Facebook in the future and just instantly turn that into a Reel for Facebook and maybe also Instagram, which is kind of cool. And I think I would actually love to see something like that on YouTube potentially. I would say Twitch, but Twitch doesn't have a version of Reels, unfortunately. But yeah, that seems like a really smart feature and one that I love for YouTube to pick up as well, Pete. So hopefully it comes out soon. I don't know. It's stuff they're working on. So it could be very close or it could be way down the line here.
Wasn't that something that Fwiz spoke about when he was still at YouTube that was something that they wanted to work on next year, was like the ability to quickly go from live streams to creating clips to them being browsable as what does YouTube call their version of Reels?
Shorts.
Yeah. I feel like I need to just have like a permanent sticky below my monitor of the platforms and the names for the exact same features. Because it makes so much sense, right? They want people to be, Facebook or YouTube, they don't want people live streaming, creating a clip, and then using a tool to export that so they can upload it to TikTok. Because TikTok's their major competition. So if they can build some kind of internal way of doing it, which obviously Facebook are working on, apparently, then it sounds like a good feature. And it makes a lot of sense for the people streaming on that platform as well, because they probably want to keep promoting their content on the platform that they're streaming on. It's just a shame that Twitch, you know, they don't seem to care about making clips browsable, like properly browsable. Just put them in the app. You know, we talked last week, didn't we, about, was it called Hover.gg or something, which was effectively what Twitch should be doing with their clip browsing system.
I mean, I think it's just buy Hover at that point, because it makes so much sense, like you said. At this point, their only platform doesn't have something like that that you can watch clips from the platform on. So maybe at TwitchCon we'll hear something, but especially with so many other competitors just copying TikTok, I don't know why Twitch hasn't done it at this point, or Amazon, because it seems like they'd want to be in on that too, you know, with how much presence TikTok has these days.
Let me ask you, Ben, how frequently are you firstly posting, or secondly browsing vertical video format on any platform? TikTok, Instagram Reels, YouTube Shorts.
It's weird because it's on every platform now besides Twitch. So a lot of times, like, I won't try to go looking for it, but somehow end up on a reel on Instagram or YouTube. I don't actually use TikTok that much for whatever reason. I think I just don't follow a lot of creators on there, but I know it's insanely popular, especially for the younger generation. And I have uploaded probably like 15-ish clips on TikTok and a couple on Instagram and YouTube. And TikTok definitely feels the best for the performance, I'd say. But in terms of browsing, I'm personally still watching a lot more of the standard, you know, 16:9 video, but I can't discount how much vertical video is taking off. But I mean, how about you? Do you watch a lot of it yourself?
I mean, I'm kind of glad that you answered that way, because I'm the exact same. I don't even have the TikTok app installed, which is probably a sin as a full-time content creator. I sometimes find myself like stuck watching Instagram Reels. Like if I wake up before my alarm and I've read the whole internet, I end up like flicking through and then realizing that all of a sudden it's an hour later and I still haven't moved. So I can see why it's so addictive and why it's become so popular. But I don't think it's necessarily a good use of my time. I agree. I spend far too much time watching YouTube, and I like discovering new creators and hearing stories and things like that. And I just don't necessarily see how a lot of that content can transition into being vertical short form. But I know how popular it is. You've certainly posted a lot more than I have, so it's good to hear your experience. I wonder maybe as well what chat have experienced with vertical video formats, because I think it's got past the point now that it's a fad. I think it really is here to stay. And I'm seeing so many examples of Twitter threads of people that have absolutely blown up on the platform. It kind of annoys me when people talk about views as their metric for blowing up, because it's not comparable, like a TikTok view or an Instagram Reel view compared to a YouTube view, because the user has made no choice to watch that content and could have just scrolled to it and then scrolled straight past it, and that still counts as a view. Whereas on YouTube, somebody's made the deliberate choice to click on your thumbnail and title. And yeah, they might only watch 3 seconds still and click off, but they might also sit and watch full 15, 30 minutes, 2 hours plus, whatever you're uploading. So the views can't be compared, but certainly people are gaining a lot of subscribers and earning fair chunks of money if they can push people to the right platforms from these vertical video formats. So yeah, it's just interesting. I just wanted to take a quick tangent there, because I don't know if it's an age thing, where we're both similar age, or if it's like me just being a naysayer and not downloading the TikTok app because I'm scared of how much time I'll end up wasting on it.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily just an age thing. I mean, I've got siblings and friends who spend a lot of time on TikTok and those things. I think it's just we're so embedded in the YouTube space at this point that that's what we're used to watching. But I don't know. I think as long as phones are around, then that vertical video will be around because it's just the most natural way to look at videos on your phone.
Just so. Viking Moose weighing in saying, I grew faster on TikTok than on YouTube sub-wise. So I'd be interested to know, what does a sub mean on TikTok? Does it mean that when you post a new TikTok, the people subbed are definitely going to see it? You know, are they going to see it in their first 10 swipes that they get? Does it mean, is it something like that?
I think so, although keep in mind, if you follow like 1,000 people, this might get weird. But like when I've done it before, you'll see those creators, if they post something new in your first couple of swipes.
Okay.
I only follow like 10 people. But yeah, if you follow thousands, I imagine you'd probably see like maybe the most popular ones of the ones you follow mixed in with some new ones as well. So
see,
it's not quite that sub box that you have on YouTube.
This is what's great about this podcast is I'm actually using it as a learning experience. I can find out from my audience and from you, Ben, exactly how these platforms that I probably should be on work. But there's just too many platforms to post to. I can't be uploading YouTube videos, live streaming the podcast, posting to Instagram, posting to Twitter, you know, posting to OnlyFans. other places.
Save that one for desperate times.
let's move on from Facebook. I think we finished with Facebook, right? That's all the features that you wanted to talk about. Let's move on to YouTube.
Really quick, there was one more thing you mentioned in that blog post that said they're working on improvements to detect and action non-gaming content on Facebook gaming, which makes it sound like they really want to get anything that's not gaming off of Facebook gaming, which is interesting because that's like the opposite direction that Twitch is going, where they're trying to encourage more non-gaming stuff. But I guess Facebook also has other categories for streaming besides Facebook gaming. You can just stream on Facebook, so just interesting. I don't know what that actually means for people, but yeah,
that is interesting because making the thumbnail for this live stream, I'm like trying to work out, I can get the Twitch logo, I can get the YouTube logo because their live platforms don't have a different logo. Well, Twitch is only a live platform, but you know what I mean. Facebook, I'm like, I Google like Facebook Live, it's not really got a logo. Facebook Gaming does have a specific logo, but then what happens if you don't want to do gaming live streams on Facebook? Are you just a non-Facebook gaming live streamer? Is it Facebook Live? Is it Meta? Is it like, it's actually confusing, I think, as to why they're trying to segregate the audience into gaming and non-gaming and then live and non-live, whereas Twitch is trying to be more than the gaming platform. And, you know, Gaming Careers is trying to be more than the gaming live streaming education channel. It's trying to be for more than just gamers. But we've all used the gaming word because that's what started it. So, I was even a bit confused as to what you would do if you were a Facebook live streamer, but you weren't creating gaming content. Is there a separate place or is it literally all in the same and it's just called Facebook Gaming?
I think, to my understanding, Facebook Gaming has like a true directory and kind of like a hub to it, whereas you can just go live on Facebook on your wall to your friends and family and that kind of stuff. And that's, I guess, the basic streaming on Facebook. And everything else is in the gaming. I mean, YouTube's kind of the same way, right? Like there is the YouTube gaming category. And you can also just go live in any other category too. It's just weird how Facebook really wants to keep everything non-gaming out of the category, whereas Twitch goes the other way. So just different platform niches, I guess.
Let's move on and talk about YouTube then. Scene changed a bit too quickly there. There's been two new videos posted to the Creator Insider YouTube channel, which I think we talked about last week, didn't we? We were saying get subscribed if you create any kind of content on YouTube, because this is people working at YouTube sharing what they're working on every single week. I think it's a weekly newsflash that they do on a Friday or something like that. So a bit of this is like regurgitated content that we kind of covered before, but the first video talks more about the mentions eligibility and the stories rings, which is different to the live profile rings that we saw around profiles, but only slightly different. Did you watch this through, Ben? Are you an avid watcher of the Creator Insider channel?
I didn't have a chance to watch through all this one, actually, but I saw some of the updates that came out for this. It's funny how some of these kind of go into what we already talked about, and some of them are new. I feel like sometimes we just see stuff on Twitter or before it comes out officially and then it gets announced on here. I know the first one on mentions eligibility is the first thing they talked about updating, which basically it looks like any channel now at zero subscribers can be mentioned. It used to be you had to have 500 subscribers to have that, I believe. So now it's open to everybody, which is kind of cool. Pete, any thoughts on that?
Well, I actually have just thought, I've felt incredibly guilty all of a sudden that I'm not mentioning you in this live stream.
Wow.
At least in the description, you know, I can now tag your channel, I think, by doing at Benjamin Green.
I mean, I had 500 subs before. I mean, I'm just going to...
I thought the limit was 1,000. I'm making excuses for myself. I'm going to write myself a note because I feel so guilty about this. Tag Ben in YouTube descriptions. Because now I can do that, and now people can easily click across to, you know, visit the Benjamin Green YouTube channel if they want even more quality content. But for now, stick with the podcast. Obviously, we've got enough coming your way. Yeah, so now you can mention any channel on YouTube. And in case you're worried a little bit about abuse, you can disable the ability to be mentioned by specific channels, I believe, as well. So, you know, if you're constantly being tagged in drama that you don't want to be tagged in, maybe you made it onto one of those drama podcast shows and you just don't want to be mentioned, you can remove it as well. And the story rings, I've got to admit, it's been a while since I watched this video. I added it to our notes when I first saw it, but I believe the stories ring is just the ability to see when a creator has uploaded a new story, which is different from a short, which is different from a VOD, which is different from a YouTube video. So there's like 4 or 5 different formats now you can upload to YouTube, one of them being a story. And when you upload a new story, you'll have a ring around your profile picture, which is different to the live ring because it doesn't have the word live in. Have I got that right, Ben?
Yeah, I think if you go to like the 1:15 mark in this video, you can see they have a diagram of all 4 profile versions now. So there's the active live stream, which we talked about in here before. There's active unwatched story, which is just like Instagram or anything else with that little ring when you haven't watched something. A watch story, which is the gray ring instead of the colored one, and then just the normal channel page for assume nothing. So this is kind of interesting. I think this is exactly like Instagram, to my knowledge, and they probably just yoinked that feature, which is fine. I mean, it's a great feature to have for YouTube too, and just keeps it easy to understand across platforms.
Yeah, I mean, if people are already being trained on different platforms that this is how, you know, live and updates happen around a profile picture, then it kind of makes sense to keep it the same. Why reinvent it? As long as you're not claiming to have come up with it yourself. Makes sense. I've got to admit, I don't think I've ever uploaded a story to YouTube. I wouldn't even know how I went about that. But I'm really starting to show my lack of knowledge in the content creator world, which isn't great for a content creator's podcast, is it? So maybe I will upload a story, do a live stream, and then we can get some screenshots about this for the Gaming Careers channel as well.
That's it for
this video of Creator Insider. We've got a second one as well.
Yes. Yeah, that was the first one. And then this other new one just came out. I believe this was on the 28th. So again, it's weird how they kind of split these up when they could just bundle them all together. But this feature that they announced is called Timed Reactions. And so it looks like you can basically show react. This is for video specifically, not for live stream, is my understanding. And it's where you'll see kind of like specific time. I mean, like it says, timed reactions for certain moments of the video where reactions are happening between the community as a whole. This, I feel like I haven't really seen in concept before, but it makes a lot of sense if you want to like encourage your viewers to do something watching.
I have seen this not on YouTube. Isn't this exactly how Facebook live streams work? Like you see people in real time liking and hearting a live stream and it like comes up across the video. I remember like when Facebook live streaming first came out, this was one of the features that they launched with. And I watched a couple of live streams to see, and you could see people liking the stream in real time. Sort of the thumbs up emoji would like float along the video player. So this to me sounds familiar. And they kind of combined it with talking about timed comments, which I think have been either in testing or released for quite a while on YouTube. But essentially, when you add a comment, you have the option of being able to tag the exact time that comment has been posted. So people could effectively watch back a YouTube video, and then the comments would sort of cycle through, like it was a live stream almost, to what people were commenting at the specific time of the video that you're watching. So you can see people's reactions to different sections of a video. So this is like an enhancement. I feel like it's not as good as the timed comments, so I kind of call it an enhancement, but effectively like adding an emoji reaction as certain things happen. I don't know, not a huge feature. These kind of things always seem to me like a little bit gimmicky and maybe a little bit made for people younger than me, but there could be people a lot younger than me listening to this podcast. So I want to update the world with all the new features. But they did mention at the end of this video that currently timed reactions don't play any role in determining how your video performs. And you can't currently see any analytics as to how many time reactions and what kind of reactions you got. So this is the very, very beginning of the feature rollout. In time, maybe, you know, I'm going to, rather than asking people to thumbs up on a YouTube video, I'm going to ask them to give me a heart or an exclamation mark instead, because I know that's going to push my video more in the algorithm. I don't know. but yeah, it's another metric that YouTube wants to use clearly to increase engagement between creator and viewer.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think it's cool that this is for videos specifically, because so you mentioned Facebook, and I do remember seeing that. But was that for videos on Facebook too, or just for live streams and VODs of live streams? Do you know?
Now you've got me questioning. Sanjiko says that they'd also seen it in Facebook live streams. So maybe it's not just me. And now that I've asked for hearts on this, hearts on my videos instead of live streams, I've got three heart comments in a row. So, you know, the audience know that they want to support the channel, and it's basically whatever you ask back.
Yeah, I just think it's interesting because you could kind of use this in your videos, maybe, if you wanted to like call out something at a specific part of the video in a different way than a live stream. Because like maybe even like for polls or something, like if you choose option A, click a heart. If you choose option B, click, I don't know, a thumbs up. And then you could see, because I think they actually pop up over the video, like during, as you're watching, you'll see what other people reacted to at that time. So I don't know, it kind of adds like another layer of engagement to it. I think it's cool. It does seem kind of gimmicky. I'll agree with that too. But I feel like there could be some cool uses for this from people. Like especially like watch a Mr. Beast video or something, and imagine that he asked for hearts or something at a point, and you just see it blow up the screen with hearts. I don't know. It seems like there could be some cool stuff here too.
Let's segue then into talking about Twitch, which probably actually has the most updates out of the three. First one is, I guess, not the kind of update you want to hear about, but... Twitch is retiring the Twitch app, not the Twitch streaming app, which is called Twitch Broadcaster, yeah. Something like that. Twitch Broadcast, I think it's called. I've made a video on it. I should really remember the name. But actually Twitch viewing app. So it was like a Windows app. Maybe they had them for different operating systems as well. But you could browse Twitch streams, watch Twitch streams, chat in Twitch streams, but without using a browser. They're retiring it because effectively it wasn't getting much use. And they probably want more people actually on the website. Maybe it was easier to block ads or something, and they want more people on the platform. So have you ever used the Twitch app? I actually do have a friend who uses it and was kind of annoyed about this because he had some weird performance issues with watching Twitch on his laptop and then like getting really poor frame rates until he restarts his computer. And he found a workaround was to install and watch them via the Twitch app. So he's actually kind of miffed about this.
Huh. Yeah, I think I must have tried it when they first announced it, but then realized it was like a one-to-one recreation of the browser, I believe. So I ended up not using it after that. I personally am not sad about this. I think they mentioned that they're doing this, quote unquote, to focus more on creators, which is a really vague statement, but maybe like some people who are working on this app are now going to work on creator stuff. So I guess that could be good. I kind of meaned about this when it got announced, because I actually don't know anyone who is using it. So props to your friend who has been using the app. I am sorry to hear that he doesn't have that workaround anymore. Anybody in the chat, I would love to hear used it as well, which is, it's different from Twitch Studio though, I believe, right?
So Twitch Studio is what I meant when I said Twitch Broadcaster. I couldn't remember the name of the actual streaming app. So well done, Sean, for pointing out it's actually called Twitch Studio, the streaming app. My brain is just fog. It's late in the UK, you know, I do these podcasts late in the evening. I've been uploading videos all day. But yeah, Twitch Studio is sticking around, and that I think is relatively popular actually for new streamers streaming on Twitch before. Or maybe people don't even feel the need to segue into OBS Studio. Twitch desktop app, just for watching streams, wasn't very popular, wasn't being used, so it's being shut down. So hopefully the engineers are going to, you know, move over to working on more important things. Next, we have some updates to, I guess, DMCA, but more specifically copyrighted audio, the detection system and the warning side of things. Now, Ben, when I read through this and through the email, actually, that Zach Bussey screenshotted, which we'll get to, I was kind of surprised that like Twitch is Twitch is being very helpful to its creators, but also kind of like, if you were somebody working at a record label and you read these bits of communication, you'd be like, come on, Twitch, you don't have our back at all. Let's get into actually what they're saying. Do you want to go through the blog post first?
Yeah. So they sent out an email to, I think, most users. I got an email from them last week. And then also this blog post kind of touches on the changes that are coming. So we've talked a lot about DMC on here, but the new features that are coming here is that the big one is if Twitch basically detects three more cases of copyrighted audio in your VODs in a 24-hour period, we'll send you a notification on Twitch and send you an email. The email will include more information on the copyrighted material that was detected in your VODs. So first of all, that's good because you're actually getting a notification now if you have copyright audio detected in three or more cases specifically, and you know what triggered it from Twitch, which I don't think we've really had before. You can look through a VOD and see like what parts got muted and figure it out. I don't think you've actually gotten a list of what caused it before, so that is already an improvement. There's also a couple updates to in the video producer now. I think they made it so that you're automatically going to be unpublished for your VODs if they get detected in that case. And that can be tweaked, I think, in your settings, but that's going to be one of the new default settings on here. A couple more changes they have through here. The email was cleaner than the blog post, to be honest here.
Yeah, we can go to the screenshot email if that's easier. The thing that really surprised me is that they're effectively, if they detect three cases of copyrighted music within 24 hours on your channel, they'll send you a notification and an email, which isn't a DMCA. And they'll do a lot of steps for you in terms of muting the VOD, removing any clips, and if necessary, actually removing the VOD. I mean, that is actually awesome from Twitch. Like, that's a big plus for streaming on their platform, that they're going to take, they're going to do so much of the work automatically. Because they've actually got a system to scan for copyrighted content now. You know, it's nowhere near as advanced as YouTube's, but we're talking about Twitch taking all the steps to like protect you from hopefully getting a DMCA. Now, obviously, you could still definitely get a DMCA because you've live streamed with copyrighted content, but they're kind of banking on the fact that their system is quicker than the current system that any rights holders are going to use if they're using an automated system or, you know, manually putting through a DMCA. And they're going to take a lot of steps for you. So, I mean, it's great. I would definitely say it's great for people that might accidentally at some point, you know, their Spotify runs out of their copyright-free music playlist and starts playing something and you don't realize for 30 seconds. It's going to cover your back a little bit, but I wouldn't encourage people to now go and play loads of copyrighted music just because Twitch is going to, you know, automatically deal with parts of it for you. But it is definitely a big step forward. It's just a shame it's taken so long, I would say.
Yeah, I'm really, I like this a lot overall. I think, like you said, it's a big improvement for streamers to know if you're having those kind of things. Because, I mean, even when I'm using copyright-free music, there's stuff that can get copyrighted on streams. So I've actually checked, I'd be curious, anybody here in the chat too, have you gotten any emails about this yet? Because I haven't. I think it's live from what I've seen. I didn't see an actual announced date, but they kind of positioned it as if it were rolling out already. But the other thing is that it's only for VODs and clips versus not for the actual live broadcast as you're streaming, right? So I don't think, like on Facebook and YouTube, I believe, it'll tell you when you're using a copyrighted song in real time as you're streaming. On Twitch, they don't have that yet, but at least now they'll tell you after the fact as it kind of scans for the VOD if you had three instances. So the other thing that's weird is you could play one or two copyright songs and be fine and they wouldn't notify you. I'm not sure why they waited for three specifically for this. Maybe because they figure like an accidental one isn't that big of a deal, but if you're doing it regularly, then it's a problem. But in any case, I'm happy that they have this coming at least for more clarity into what's going on.
I presume that they would still like take the minor actions for one or two, like they still mute your VOD in those sections. Oh, you didn't stream three copyrighted music. Ah, oh, well, we'll leave it up on your VODs and then eventually get taken down for DMCA. But if you'd streamed three, if you just streamed a little bit more copyrighted material, then we would have had you back. No, I'm sure that it's just to stop people from, it's probably to stop the expense of sending that many emails from Twitch's system. They must yeah, know, be churning out emails if it's happening. But yeah, at least only once per day per account, no matter what you're streaming. But pretty cool. I think, like you said, the system on YouTube and Facebook is more advanced currently, but Twitch is probably not that far off if they've already got the system working for VODs. Like, you'd think it wouldn't be too hard for them to do it for live streams as well. Whether it's going to, you know, give you an instant notification, because I think YouTube can even like actually take your stream offline. It was either YouTube or Facebook that could take your stream offline if it was noticing, yes, you know, too much of it. So, you know, maybe Twitch will, their hands will be forced just because the competitors are doing that as well. But definitely a step forward in terms of protecting the streamer from Twitch's side of things. But the advice doesn't change. It doesn't mean that you can stream copyright music. Please don't stream copyrighted music. There's so much good copyright free music out there. The video that I just did, I had to do a big section at the end about why I love using Epidemic Sound for my YouTube videos and live streams and podcasts and all these kind of things. But even outside of that, there's free alternatives. You know, Harris Heller's music library, Stream Beats, there's loads of tracks in there. So really the options have never been better. And if you feel like you have to listen to top 40 hits while streaming, then set up a submix so that you're hearing it and your stream isn't, and they're listening to something else. And there's plenty of content around about how you can do that. But that's rant probably over. A couple more things from Twitch as well, though. Do you want to start touching on the mod appreciation day stuff?
Yeah. So they had, was it mod appreciation day? It was a day. Okay. I wasn't sure if it was a day or a month. It was last week. And as part of that day, they announced a new feature on Twitch, kind of a small feature. But it's a slash announcement feature that mods, creators, and bots can use now. So it's basically a little highlighted message in chat. It looks a little bit more fancy than your standard highlight message with channel points. It has like a color border around it, and it kind of sticks out more. But yeah, basically, it's just a way to call attention to a certain message in the chat. One note about this is it does not get stickied in the chat. So to my understanding, it'll just flood out. So if you put this in like XQC's chat, it's going to be gone in 2 seconds, right? Versus on YouTube, like right here, we have a pinned comment at the top of the chat that doesn't go away. This kind of feels like a incomplete version of that, I would say, but still is a nice feature, I guess, especially for smaller communities where it'll stick around for a bit, or maybe you want to spam it or something from a bot for an important message. It's just one more tool to give the mod. So that was kind of nice, at least. What do you think, Pete?
I didn't know that about the fact that it doesn't pin at the top, because that makes almost no sense for big channels to use this. Like, their chat moves so quickly that no one's going to see an announcement. So it doesn't matter that it's highlighted either side in that sort of purple shadow way that we're seeing right now. No one's going to see it. So it would make more sense if it was just stickied for a minute or something like that. And then everyone will see it, no matter the size of the channel. You know, Twitch engineers could definitely work out a way that if the chat isn't moving quickly, then it doesn't get stickied, and the chat is moving quickly, then it does, or something. But it's useful. I saw that initially on release, it didn't work for bots, or they added that secondly. But I was trying to think of, you know, use cases when you'd actually want to use your bot to do announcements. Like, are people going to be announcing their new YouTube videos or announcing their OnlyFans through this kind of command?
I think it's more for like moments during a stream to announce, like something is like the giveaway is now open, or you know, you can now enter the lobby to play with me, like that kind of thing, versus like, I don't think it's going to be for a new content piece dropping or something. It would be probably best used for things during the stream, or just even like memes, like they have in the examples here, between mods and things like that. So, but yeah, I mean, it really needs to be a sticky, especially for any decent sized community. There's features on Twitch that do this already, whether it's polls or channel points predictions or things like that, that stay at the top of the chat. So, but the functionality is there. It just needs to get a little bit of an upgrade to get closer to what's on YouTube. And I think Facebook has this as well with the sticky comments.
I guess it's a nice quality of life feature anyway. Did you participate in Thank You Mods? I feel bad now that I didn't take part in Mod Appreciation Day, because I didn't even see it. I actually only just saw this feature. So sorry, mods. I do appreciate you. They hopefully know how much I appreciate them, but I should let them know only on one day of the year. One last Twitch update, some new categories that came out that people weren't really sure if it was April Fool's or not. I've got the tweet thread open here for the screen share, but I'll read it out for the podcast listeners. Today, we're excited to launch five new categories you can watch and stream to. Here's what's new. A supreme new category stuffed with possibilities called, well, the GIF here is all about pizza. I don't actually know what the category is called. You wrote it in the note, Pizza Time. So
that's what it's called. Yeah, Pizza Time.
Is this just, you know, is this like a mukbang type category, or is this literally just for eating pizza?
It's pizza time. I mean, I think the interpretation is up to you what that means. I don't know. These are all part of, I mean, Twitch announced on April Fool's. But the funny thing is they're actual real categories you can stream to on Twitch. And I think, I mean, they showed some examples of people actually streaming to them. The first one is Pizza Time. The second one on here is Silent Reading, which I think you showed as well. Third one is Character Creation, which was actually kind of funny because you can spend a lot of time on character creation. Fourth one was Chores, Odd Jobs, and Errands. And the last one was Literally Just Chatting, which I actually was interested in that because that almost sounded like it was just going to be an active chat box without a stream, which would be interesting on Twitch. But I mean, they're kind of meme categories, so I guess I looked too much into it to try and find something real. But this is kind of a funny announcement. I don't think they've done this before for categories on Twitch for April Fool's, Pete.
Yeah, but now they're going to have backlash if they ever remove these categories, because you know that there's somebody seriously streaming their chores, you know, going around the house hoovering, streaming from a IRL backpack type setup. So Twitch now has to keep these as options, which, you know, isn't a big hard task for them to do. You know, it's going to cost them nothing to keep them running. It's just a different feature. But I get like all brands trying to jump on the April Fool's train. I kind of roll my eyes at it now whenever April 1st comes around, because I'm like, oh, just another, you know, in a month's time it's going to be May the 4th and we're going to get all the Star Wars jokes, and it's just like it's the same stuff every single year, like, but it's just brands getting on it and kind of ruining it. So I don't hate Twitch for, you know, trying to make a good joke out of it. I would love to see an upcoming streamer who just streams Pizza Time daily, getting in 2,000 calories every single day, because that's the category that they got big in, and the community hates when they stream something different. So they're just Pizza Time, 5 days a week, 8 hour streams. That's the new Twitch meta.
Yeah, I think it was funny overall. They have some funny examples of like the silent reading one. It's literally just somebody sitting there reading. There's nothing happening in the chat. These are going to wear off they're probably already worn off by the time this podcast goes out. But I mean, it's a small thing that's harmless and probably won't go away. It actually reminds me of when they announced past categories. I remember when they announced the social eating category, for example, that got memed. And so Pizza Time kind of sounds like the same thing to me, except this time it's an intentional meme category instead of like an accidental one. But yeah, there's a lot of categories that no one really uses anymore on Twitch, and some of these might end up there. Others might be ones that streamers use as memes occasionally. Like, you ever be on Twitch and you see like Barbie Horse Adventure at the top of Twitch because one streamer is using that? Yeah, that might be Pizza Time for the next month or so. You never know.
Maybe. There's a possibility of that. We haven't actually touched on the Boost Train update from last week, which kind of connects quite nicely to you talking about Barbies being at the top of Twitch. So last week, for those that didn't listen, we talked about the Hype Train enhancement called Boost Train, which was basically a reward for reaching the highest tier of a Hype Train, was that you could have your stream be promoted on the front page. It seems like in the past week, some accounts have found a way to abuse that feature, let's just say, to get how do I put this in a podcast friendly format, adult themed live streams onto the front page of Twitch, similar to what we saw with when Ninja left Twitch, and when you went to Ninja's page it was recommending other Fortnite streamers, and people found a way of abusing that to display other things. That same thing has happened with the Boost Train feature. And so temporarily, Twitch has paused the feature until they can figure out a way of being able to moderate it and make sure that it's not abused by people with the Hype Train. Because like really small streamers, their goal for a Hype Train level 5 will be really low. So if the way that they built the boost train feature on top of that was that once you got to level 5, you had a 1 in 10 chance of getting a boost this stream plug and put on the front page, then people would obviously find a way to abuse that. But yeah, kind of worth talking about because some people might have been listening to last week's episode and being like, I haven't seen this feature anyway. And that's because it's temporarily paused until Twitch can sort their systems out. I think that's it for all Twitch news, unless you've got anything else to add, Ben.
I was just going to say something kind of funny about that is, so that account that did that got banned for 3 days. And then when it got unbanned, it got put back on the front page, even though the feature was disabled. Because I guess the way that they wanted the boost to work is that, like, if you stop streaming for a day and then come back the next day, you still have your boost carry over. So that channel was being boosted when I was taken offline and right back on the front page of Twitch. So yeah, it clearly needs some more work to get fixed, but Twitch is pretty committed to the whole boost the stream feature at this point, it seems.
At least they're rolling it out slowly. So this isn't a widespread issue. It was just sort of screenshotted and then shared virally over Twitter. Only real last thing that I want to mention news-wise, because I like to plug my own stuff, is that I released a new video today called Amazing Microphone Quality with Free Plugins. It's a video effectively about VST plugins for your microphone chain. And Wavelink, which is the software that Elgato have built for their Wave 1, Wave 3 microphones, as well as the Wave XLR, which is an XLR interface. Really, really neat software. They recently rolled out, it wasn't actually even that recently, rolled out an update where you could use VST plugins, which are essentially software versions of expensive commercial studio hardware, but in software form. So the functionality works similarly, but it kind of mimics it rather than the traditional hardware methods. But if you went into a recording studio, you'd see all of these compressors and noise gates as physical hardware. People then build software versions of them, and that's what a VST is. So you can add VST plugins to your microphone chain, to your other audio channels. It's really cool. It makes the Wave 1 and Wave 3 microphones like incredibly appealing because they're cheap and now you get really good sound out of them. And also makes the Wave XLR as an interface really appealing. I can't hear you, Ben, if you're trying to speak. You're still muted.
No.
All you're doing is giving thumbs up and approving of it. It's OBS, hopefully, are going to, at some point, also add the ability to use VST3 plugins. You can use VST2 plugins in OBS, but for the longest time, VST3 has been one of their, bounty feature programs where you can effectively contribute money, and hopefully a developer will take on adding that feature to OBS, and then they will get that money. It's one of those features that's been requested for a long, long time, but still isn't implemented. But I wanted to make the video anyway because it's really great in Wavelink, and maybe at some point this year we're going to see VST3 plugins supported in OBS, which is awesome because you can get, like the video shows, really great noise gates, compressors, EQ, DSs, noise suppression, all of them in VST form, and they're super customizable, and you can make really any microphone sound really quite good. So if you haven't checked that out yet, please do give it a watch, give it a thumbs up, all those kind of things helps spread the video out. And I've got more content coming very soon, actually, probably in the next few days on the channel. And that's it. I've done my segment of plugging. That's over to you now, Ben. You have to do the segment of plugging this podcast because I can't plug two things back to back.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. No, it was a good video. I watched it this afternoon as well. So check that out if you need some more audio.
We do have a viewer question as well.
Yeah. So I think we can hit that really quickly. That was from, try to say this right, Joe's Codes 101, hopefully. Joe's said, I have a question. I'm considering live streaming some programming sessions at some point. Which streaming service, in your opinion, would be the best one to use with future-proofing in mind specifically? So for someone who wants to live stream programming, Pete, and make that content last, any thoughts on where they should stream?
Well, firstly, thank you, Joe, for the question. It's so long that actually the little pop-up system that we have to highlight messages, it kind of cuts it off at the bottom. But I do really appreciate the question. I'm also, or used to be, a software developer. So I am very interested in watching people code, build cool things. I think the main thing that you want to think about is what platform do you see most frequently people streaming this kind of content on? Because if it doesn't exist on a platform, there's probably not a huge appetite of people watching it. But I do know that there is a popular section on Twitch. You know, there's always a handful of streamers streaming their development. And it's also a really popular category in VOD format on YouTube. I subscribe to a few different YouTubers who just release weekly updates of a game that they're building. And it'll just be like a, one of them is building like a farming simulator. I have no interest in that as a game, but it's super interesting watching them build it from the start to the end and every week seeing new features being added. So I think YouTube probably would be my shout just because there's already a huge VOD system and you could quite easily turn live streams into VODs. Like if you did that same kind of weekly devlog where you upload what you've worked on for the week and show it in a visual way, then you could probably build an audience up on the YouTube VOD side that might come and tune into you actually streaming the content in the week. So YouTube would be my suggestion, but I would do the research and see Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, which of them has that kind of audience already there.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't have the background of being a programmer, but I have to agree that YouTube VODs make the most sense, I think, of anything. And you can live stream it too, whether it's on Twitch or YouTube. I don't think you get a huge viewership amount. I don't know. There may be some streamers who get a lot of viewers in that category. I don't follow programming, so I don't know that space super well. But I think YouTube VODs are where you're really going to get a lot of momentum for the educational side. And you could probably even just take like a full VOD and just throw that on YouTube to start with. And it would be decent just for people who want to go in depth on stuff. Whether that means you want to stream on Twitch and maybe YouTube at the same time and then just throw the VOD on YouTube, that seems like the best way to go. So I would agree. But again, I don't have that background of being in the programming space. So definitely check out the other options as well. Maybe Facebook has something. Who knows?
Got another question here from Danny, who is asking specifically about the VST video. Are VST 3 plugins so much better than VST 2? Now my interest is piqued. To be honest with you, I don't completely understand the difference between the two, but I believe it's down to how the plugin is loaded and continues to eat up CPU cycles, whether it's active or not. I believe VST 2 plugins are constantly stored in memory and constantly running, even when you're not necessarily using them. So that if they're added through OBS and your microphone is muted, let's say, then it will still be eating up CPU cycles, whereas VST 3 are more efficient in terms of how they're active and non-active. But that is literally from like the corner of my brain when I probably Googled it a couple of years ago. So don't quote me on that, but I believe that is the reasoning. Certainly most newer plugins that people are building in the VST framework are VST 3. And so when you're just using OBS to add VST plugins and having to stick to VST 2, thankfully all of the Reaper plugins do. So like that's a suite that lots of people talk about for adding EQ and all those others. They've got noise gates, they've got compression in the Reaper suite. But most of the newer VST plugins, maybe slightly more advanced ones, are VST 3. So currently aren't supported with OBS. But hopefully one day that does change. Any other questions, Ben, whilst I've been answering that one?
Last one is from Teched Out, who said, will the next podcast be a pizza talk, Pete? Do you think we're going to have to use that new category on? I wish it was on YouTube too, sadly.
It kind of works for me this time. You know, I could have a late night pizza, 9 p.m. till 10 p.m. here, yeah, in the UK. It's 4 till 5 p.m. for you, right? So you're just having an early dinner.
Early, yeah. I can do pizza anytime, really.
Certainly if we ever manage to do this podcast in person, we can do it. We can stream it to Twitch and we'll do it under the pizza talk category, but we'll also be in a hot tub. So we'll do the hot tub category. We'll also be just chatting and we'll also be doing chores. So we'll co-stream to four different categories, I guess.
That's right.
If that's the case.
And multi-stream it and yeah, the whole nine yards.
Multi-streaming is something that we want to look into as well, being able to stream this to mm-hmm. Twitch, but there's still complications with my Twitch partner contract and trying to get out of that. But that's for another podcast. I think that probably wraps it up. It's been a good week of platform news. It's not always that we get all three major platforms giving us updates to talk about every single week. And yeah, we managed to catch up on even more current things than that, like the Our Place battles that are going on between Twitch streamers. So hopefully you guys have enjoyed that. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody that's live in chat, everybody that's listening to the audio version after the fact. This was meant to be your job to plug it, actually, but I've left it long enough now that people have forgotten that I've already plugged my YouTube video. So if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you can rate and review on those two platforms. Or if you're listening anywhere else, then or watching it on YouTube, give us a thumbs up. leave this video with a thumbs up. That'd be really appreciated. And we'll catch you next week, I believe, Ben. We're both around again. We'll find out if Carolina's basketball team won tonight.
Proud.
You know, as a diehard fan that I am of the Carolinas. Woo.
Go Carolinas. Yeah.
That probably is actually the chant, isn't it? It's better than
exactly it. You got it right. Okay.
Yep. You Americans aren't great with your chants. USA, that's all you guys have got. Anyway, we're going off topic. We will catch you next week for a live stream. Thanks so much for everybody watching, chatting, as always, and we'll see you then.
Peace. See you.